Saint Kateri declared to Father de Lamberville that she must indeed go away, even at the cost of her life. She was too unhappy and distrustful of herself and her own powers of endurance to remain longer in the country, where she was exposed to constant trials of her strength and faith. Father de Lamberville, moved by her earnest words, spoke to Hot Ashes, an Iroquois warrior chief and a Christian who was staying with the father, and asked if it would be possible for him and his companions to take her back with them to Canada. Hot Ashes at once offered Kateri his own place in the canoe. God had provided a means of escape for her most unexpectedly. It was the very best opportunity she could have to go. Her uncle was away, and her aunts, either through indifference or ignorance of the plan, put no obstacle in her path. The two companions of Hot Ashes put Saint Kateri secretly into the canoe with them, and immediately took the route leading towards the Dutch. She arrived in the autumn of the year 1677 in the Jesuit mission Kahanawake, which is today located in Quebec, south of Montreal, which at that time was called New France. On her arrival, she put the letters that Father de Lamberville had written into the hands of the fathers who, having read them, were delighted to have acquired a treasure, for these were the words of the letter: "I pray you to take the charge of her direction. You will soon know the treasure that we give you. Guard it then well. May it profit in your hands to the glory of God and to the salvation of a soul that is assuredly very dear to him." This Jesuit mission was full of Christian Iroquois, and it was not long until Saint Kateri developed a friendship with Anastasia, a learned Christian Indian. Saint Kateri spent much time with her, listening to her instructions on the heinousness of sin and its terrible consequences. One day, soon after her arrival, Anastasia noticed that Kateri had wampum beads around her neck and in her hair, and the elder woman questioned her to find out if she really cared for these things. It cost Saint Kateri nothing to lay them aside the moment she thought that they might be displeasing to God. Her only motto henceforward was,
"Who will teach me what is most pleasing to God that I may do it?"
Saint Kateri soon began to inflict upon herself severe penances to atone for what she considered great wickedness on her part. She hoped by severe penances to expiate the sin she had committed in the past, adorning herself with beads, trinkets, and Indian ornaments, even though she had done it more to please her aunts than to gratify her own vanity. She learned more in a week than the others did in several years. She was always seen, rosary in hand, and with her dear instructress. She never left Anastasia because she learned more from her when the two of them were alone. Her actions made Anastasia say of her that she never lost sight of God. Their talk was about the life and doings of good Christians, and she tried to put what she heard into practice. Over time, Saint Kateri developed the friendship of a few companions of her own sex. She wished no other ties than those who would help her in perfection, and even separated herself from a certain person with whom she had previously associated, because she noticed that she had a false pride. She did, however, accomplish the separation without appearing to despise the person she left. When Anastasia spoke to Saint Kateri of the necessity of avoiding slander, Saint Kateri asked her what she had meant. It is not surprising that she did not even know what evil speaking was, for she was never known to have said a word against anyone, not even against those who calumniated her. One day, her amiability was put to the test. A young man passed through the cabin where she sat with Anastasia and roughly pulled aside her blanket with these words, "They say this one has sore eyes. Let's see." Saint Kateri blushed deeply, but made no retort. She gathered her blanket about her and continued the conversation with her friend.